This morning's scripture reading is a familiar scripture reading, especially on the day of Pentecost, as we often go back to the story that we read in Acts chapter 2, and today's no different. I want to read for you just the first 12 verses of that passage for our edification and to lead us into this morning's message as well. So Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, today is Pentecost, a day that really ranks right up there with Christmas and Easter in terms of its importance in the life and the history of the church. A day that we remember the Holy Spirit came in power. Power. Power can be used a number of different ways. And I can think of at least two I want to give as an illustration. See, power can either be unleashed or it can be harnessed. Think about a 40-liter tank of gas. A lighted match into that, and it would explosively be unleashed in terms of this violent display of power. Or that same 40-liter tank of gas channeled through an engine in a controlled burn can transport a person in a vehicle for hundreds and hundreds of kilometers. Explosions are spectacular, but controlled burns have lasting effects. They last. They have staying power. When we think of the word power in human terms, we recognize it too can be either corrosive and explosive, or it can be channeled in such a way that it improves the lives and the well-being of all people, regardless of age, gender, status, ability, or ethnicity. The problem for us as human beings often is, as the old saying goes, power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. And as I look out at our world today, it is corrupt with power. 4 years ago, I was reading, actually just this past week, I was reading something that a pastor had reflected on 4 years ago. He was a pastor in Philadelphia, and he was lamenting at the direction his country was taking in 2016, especially as it pertained to the election and the nomination of people to represent political parties for the presidency of the United States. Now, I normally don't talk politics, but I think this was well worth sharing considering our climate today. And as he lamented and as he thought about this whole idea of the fire of the Holy Spirit coming, he said, "A different kind of fire is sweeping across the U.S. And this is 4 years ago. New York Times columnist and PBS commentator called the effective negative campaigning that was happening as breathtaking and powerful. And he likened it to calling down fire upon opponents. The reference, of course, there is to the prophet Elijah, who called for and got fire to come down on his opponents, as it were, and licked up not only his sacrifice, but their sacrifice, and even the very stones. He goes on to write, one has to wonder what damage this volatile and toxic mix of bullying and bluster, xenophobia and nationalism, misogyny and racism, and its appeal to the darker nature of America will do to us and this country. And he ends the thought by saying, the earth of our politics will be scorched as never before. That seems to be certain. Those are prophetic words indeed. 4 years later, and America is burning. Literally and metaphorically. The darker nature of society has seemed to be raging all the more with every passing moment. Racial divide has grown. Anger and division has amplified. And as a nation, it seems indeed they are bearing the fruit of that toxic mix. And lest we point the finger accusingly, in a self-righteous way, remember, things aren't perfect here either. Even in our own part of the world, the fires of racism and division are being stoked. Not to mention suspicion, conspiracy, and xenophobia. We've long sort of overlooked the systemic discrimination of Indigenous peoples here in Canada. And now in the city of Richmond and in Metro Vancouver, the increased targeting of Asians, our brothers and sisters who happen to be of Asian descent, breaks my heart. As I look at our world and our city, in these moments, it grieves me deeply, and I hope it grieves you deeply as well. Our world needs a Pentecost. Not the fires of division, but the fire of the Holy Spirit, who can and does make us one. I want you to think about the statement that we have come to hold dear recently as we describe Broadmoor Baptist Church. We say, many nations, two congregations, one church, Broadmoor. Let me simplify that just a little bit for this morning's sake. Many nations, two congregations, one. One. To me, that is the key to understanding this day, the purpose of Pentecost. Yes, the Holy Spirit came in power. At Pentecost, it seems like he just exploded onto the scene and that his presence was, as it is described, like tongues of fire. And thousands were affected by that burst of God's power, as it were. But in the long haul, he also continues to work through the church, the institution that God began. And we tap the Holy Spirit's power for the long haul. Pentecost, yes, one of the most wonderful and exciting things in terms of the history of the Christian faith, that birthday of the church, as some have come to call it, because of the new thing that God had inaugurated that day. The Holy Spirit had fallen fresh on the people of God in the lives of people who sought him, just as we sang moments ago as a prayer. And transformation began. People were filled with the passion and the fires of the Holy Spirit. I don't know about you, but I know there are many who long for that experience, even in our day. Remember what author and pastor Lloyd Ogilvie writes after he had done a research of the people of God in the United States in certain areas. He said, the greatest longing in the church today stated from that research, both directly and indirectly, is the quest for something more than dull religion. People are in need of the intimacy, inspiration, and impelling power of the Holy Spirit. And as he boldly proclaims, the greatest need in the church today is for a contemporary Pentecost. And indeed it is. But what exactly is it that we need? Yes, as I said, we clamor for a repeat of some kind of that event, a return to a kind of passionate faith that speaks the heart language of every person, that when they hear the message, they hear in their hearts their language that they need to hear so that they might come to faith in him and be transformed by his renewing power. But we need to remember that really the key purpose in Pentecost is this oneness that is described. We love to focus on the diversity because there is diversity, but the different languages that they heard represented there were still from one nation, because it was, as verses 5 to 11 describe, God-fearing Jews from every nation. So while there was the diversity, there was also one ethnicity, so to speak, one people. But that doesn't mean that the moment wasn't important. It was important. A change began, a transformation began, because as the Holy Spirit fell fresh on those people, they went out into the world. And later, as we read throughout the book of Acts, more of those kind of moments did happen when the Samaritans heard the word of God and believed. The Spirit was poured out on them. When other Gentiles heard the word of God and believed, the Spirit was poured out on them. But what's really important, and Acts chapter 2, verse 1 starts out very clearly where it says that they were all together in one place. As I've said before, another way of saying that is they were all of one accord. They were one in purpose and in spirit. There was oneness. Yes, there is diversity, but there's unity in that diversity. We in Western society, you know, part of the fruit we're also bearing currently is the toxic fruit of selfishness, of me and me alone, my way, me first. This is the kind of thing that the world is desperately needing changing. We need to think of the other. The Bible is filled with that imagery and that admonition on a regular basis. Think of others, one another. There's tons of one another's in the Bible, and it's there for a reason. We need to think of others. We have to stop thinking it is just me in this world, just Jesus and me, as I've said before. Our pursuit is not our own gain or our own glory or our own gratification. Our pursuit is holiness. It's the pursuit of God. And let me say this very clearly. Our pursuit is unity. Of being one accord. And the Holy Spirit is who enables that to happen. Jesus prayed for that to happen. John 17, he prayed that they, meaning us, would be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The purpose then, as I look at Pentecost, focuses on the unity that's there, not the diversity. That the people of God, regardless of where they came from, what their background is, become one in the family of believers around the world. Yes, there is great diversity in church, and there must be, but there is also, first and foremost, great unity. Pentecost happened when the people were of one accord. Don't miss that important truth. And don't miss the timeliness of that thought. As I began, I spoke of how our world is burning, not with the fire of the Spirit, but with the flames of division and racism. Our world needs dramatic transformation that only the Holy Spirit can bring. The kind that takes our diversity, the very diversity that we were given from him, and makes us of one accord. The world is broken and burning, and it needs that kind of contemporary Pentecost. That we as a people of God would be very involved in the world around us to speak that kind of truth, that kind of peace, that kind of hope, that kind of love, that kind of possibility into lives that are so desperately in need of a better way. I watched this morning a video clip of two African-American men, three actually, a 46-year-old, a 31-year-old, and a 16-year-old. Maybe some of you saw it as well. And they were arguing amongst one another in terms of the rioting and the difficulty that's going on. And the 31-year-old, his capsule summary of it was, "We have got to find a better way because none of this is working. Jesus is the better way. Jesus is the better way." Even as he was speaking that, a woman behind him had a t-shirt on boldly stating, "God is hope." Could it be that we've become too complacent and comfortable, too afraid to see this happen, or even believe that this could happen in our world? Could it be that we indeed have become mausoleums of the dead rather than coliseums of praise for a living God? Pentecost marks this beginning of this new spiritual movement in Christ, a movement birthed in the fires of the Holy Spirit, a movement steeped in that spirit of hope and love and joy and peace and renewal and transformation and change, inner change, spiritual change that only the Holy Spirit indeed can bring about. A movement where souls are on fire with the passion of the Holy Spirit. We, the people that were up here, you at home, we become part of God's plan of transformation for this world. And that includes looking out for the other. That includes standing against the growing racial divide. That includes preaching the good news of the hope in Jesus Christ, who can transform us, forgive us, cleanse us, elevate us to equal status as people in the same family, and make us one. As God's people, we might wonder, "God, where are you in all this?" But I wonder if we ever ask, instead of, "God, where are you in all this?" do we ever ask, "How am I being the hands, feet, and voice of Jesus in this world?" Remember that, contrary to what we might think, or how we may have acted intentionally or otherwise, we are our brother's and sister's keeper. In a time when our world and even our own part of it is burning, as I say, the racism that has stoked fires, has struck too many times in our own city and wider metropolis, we are most desperately in a moment where we need to be one and to stand as one and to give a message of God's love for all, that they may be one also. To stand up when oppression and injustice occurs, to oppose degrading others by action or word, or judging people by the color of their skin. Martin Luther's powerful statement of and hope and prayer in his dream that we would judge people by the content of their character is a long ways off. But we can do that. You and I, us, the people of God, and show his love. It's time to fulfill really what Pentecost began. To do his will to bring about this transformation. To be people who, as Micah 6:8 says, "He has shown you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." Or I like how the New Living Translation puts it. "O people, the Lord has told you what is good, and this is what he requires of you. To do what is right. To love mercy and to walk humbly with your God." What is right? What is right? One thing. And I was thinking about this in light of the church we used to be part of. And in the documents and in the statements that described who we were as a people of God, it said, "We believe all people matter to God and to us." That's what's right. To love our neighbor, to love one another, to oppose injustice, to see everyone as someone that matters to God and to us, and live out that message in this world. But at the same time, don't think that God is vacant. Don't think that he is some absentee landlord or isn't able to intervene. On the contrary, notice what verse 2 says in Acts chapter 2. It starts out with this beautiful word, suddenly. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. We need to believe again in a suddenly God. A suddenly God. We need to believe that he still acts suddenly, powerfully. Maybe just when we think all hope is lost. Milne, in his commentary on the book of Acts that I've quoted before, says, when God comes, it is so utterly different and sheerly supernatural that all human preparation, which may have authentically anticipated the event, is effectively eliminated from consideration. Pentecost reminds us that no matter what we do to anticipate God and how he will move in our midst or how he will act in our world, he is no man's debtor. He's not contained in a box. He's not contained in a theological system. He's not only with the Baptists. He's with the Pentecostals and the United Church people and the Anglicans, and you can fill in the blanks along the way. All who profess faith in him, he is with us. He is the Lord of the universe. He is the Lord of all creation. He will do as he pleases, when he pleases, to bring glory to his name. And we need to be ready to do his will as his Spirit leads. What happened on the day of Pentecost was an incredible, amazing, jaw-dropping, and beyond imagination. The Spirit came in power. And his disciples began to be his witnesses, as Acts 1:8 states, in Jerusalem, and then in Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And while we clamor, as I say, for a contemporary experience, remember that the Spirit of Pentecost remains with us to this day. We are still his witnesses in the world. How will we make him known? How will we be known? I want to be part of a church, and I hope you do too, whose purpose is in the power of the Holy Spirit to bring people to Jesus, to be fueled by his controlled, steady, long-term burn in terms of the purposes of God, to be a church where every member is a minister who stands for justice in this world, who lifts up the downtrodden, sets free the captive, helps the blind to see, the lame to walk, and the deaf to hear. A church that rights the wrongs of inequality and uses the gifts given by the Spirit to serve him, not only in the church, but in the community and the world around us. Not because we have these jobs that we're supposed to do, but because the Spirit has gifted us to do that, and we want to follow the leading of his Spirit. The Holy Spirit empowers us to see things differently and do things differently. We need to capture this new way of seeing and being the people of God. And Pentecost reminds us that this is possible because his Spirit came to make us one, inaugurate the new thing he is doing, and that he is a suddenly God that moves in our midst and is not limited by our will and whim, but is greater and stronger and able to do more than we could ever ask or imagine. Perhaps then this is the time we need, as one Methodist pastor said many, many years ago in an address to his own denomination, to open up to the mind-blowing, heart-warming, life-changing power of God. For when God sends forth the Spirit, amazing things happen. Barriers are broken. Communities are formed and transformed. Opposites are reconciled. Unity is established. Disease is cured. Addiction is broken. Cities are renewed. Races are reconciled. Hope is established. People are blessed. Church happens. And Christ, the Savior of the world, is lifted up. And that is why we celebrate this day. Our world is broken and burning. More than ever, we long for the Spirit to move in our midst. And more than ever, we need to be ready to go where He leads. As one, with one accord, one in purpose and spirit. Yes, amidst our diversity, but unity, doing His kingdom work while we wait for His suddenly to come. To experience afresh the purpose and power of Pentecost. More than ever, the world not only needs to see that we are one, but that they too can experience the transforming hope that we have as well and be one as part of the family of God. That's the new and better way. That is the way of hope for our future in our world. That is the spirit of Pentecost. So, may God's fire burn brightly in your life and in the life of our church, not only on this day of Pentecost, but on into the many days, weeks, months, and years to come for His sake and His glory. Let us pray. Gracious God, loving God, forgiving God, I pray that You indeed would forgive us for our times of complacency and fill us anew with that fervor that we once probably each had. Our hearts grieve, Lord. We cannot imagine how You must feel as we look at what's going on in our world. We need a contemporary version of Pentecost that speaks to that ability to become one, or to become people who look out for the other, to become people who long for Christ and for Your suddenly to come. And I pray that our hearts would be ready to receive and willing to follow where You lead. Oh God, do not let us slip back into complacency. As we think of our own time and the times of this pandemic, and even though phase two in our own province opens up and we've been able to do more things, I got a haircut yesterday, among other things, Lord, we realize that there's this tendency, there's this possibility that we would just go back to the same complacency that was there before. My prayer has been, as I have asked others, what is the one thing You would like to leave behind? That's one of the things I'd like to leave behind. That You would renew our fervor. That we indeed would be Your witnesses in this world. Lord, we know that You can make it happen. We pray that You would enable us to have strong faith, to truly believe that You could make that happen. And use us, however You see fit, to be Your hands, Your feet, and Your voice in this community, this city, this province, this country, and even around the world. For Your sake and Your glory. Amen.